the return of science. Proper science. Nobel laureate. Atheist. Thinks that within the fabric of materiality, the fabric of the universe, woven into it, it's pregnant with the possibility of life, but also intelligence. First Nobel laureate. 2 + 2 = 4. Forget calculus and let's go on to advanced mathematics. Why does it work? After all, we're only hominoids. Yeah? Homo sapien sapiens. Yeah? That's the hominoid we are. Again, back to the Greeks. Sapientia. So we are the hominoid that knows. Homo sapiens. But actually our proper biological term is Homo sapiens sapiens. We know that we know. We're reflexive. Hence, we do mathematics, theoretical physics, do King Lear, do Bach, do Mozart, do Messi, do whatever. This is the thing. We are the hominoid that knows that it knows. Another Nobel laureate, you've probably heard of him. That's a different form of science, isn't it? Maybe it's a pre-19th century view. And maybe, as we'll see later, maybe it's a 21st century view. So maybe 100 years or so, 150, the world went a bit mad. The Abrahamic faith went a bit extreme, and scientists went a bit extreme. Einstein seems to be keeping a pretty good head of it. Here he goes again. He can't, if you listen to a scientist, a practicing scientist doing research, say doing something really boring, like carbon, right? Why did they get out of bed in the morning to go and study carbon? There was a desire. They were pursuing something. And they thought that pursuit was good, true, and beautiful. They thought it was better. Truth was better than falsehood. They didn't stay in bed and watch daytime TV. They thought this was good. So in some sense, the world being intelligible invites us to engage with it. There's a desire there. No matter how many problems that raises, it still invites us, like a lover, like a tree, like the snail we talked about, like anything, like a molecule, like a planet. It seems to get us out of our bed, away from daytime TV, and say, come investigate me. Investigate me. This is why Aristotle, who invented all the sciences, said that you become that which you know. It's a form of eros. Eros all the time, that which you know. There's a desire, always. It's no longer my precious, it's expansive, it's my love. It's different. Now, what a lot of these fundamentalist scientists, for example, not scientists, philosophers, and so forth, atheists, there's something called Hempel's dilemma. I hope you write that down, because it's really important. Because you hear all the time on TV and newspapers and any reasonably liberal, intelligent TV program, they'll go, oh yeah, it's all material, it's all physics, it's all physicalism, as they call it now. They have these successor terms, you've got materialism, then you've got physicalism, then you may non-reductive physicalism, and then it goes on to different terms. But the point is, yeah, it's all physics. We saw that, didn't we, earlier with Rutherford and so forth. It's all stamp collecting, all the physics. Tell that someone living in 1915. They knew. They were quaffing their sherry, drinking their sherry, and they thought, well, it's all soda. We know exactly what we're doing. An uneducated bloke, Einstein, who we met, rocked up with general relativity before he got to special relativity. Forget Niels Bohr and Heisenberg and Schrodinger and so forth. And he fractured the whole world of physics. So the point of Hempel's dilemma is you don't know what future physics will bring. So you cannot my precious, my fundamentalism, my pseudoscience, say this is it. Because there's no it. There's no it, as history always proves. Now, pessimistic induction. I like to call it optimistic induction. It's only pessimistic if you want your precious. It's optimistic if you think, wow, wow, this really is a relationship with reality, with existence, with rocks and stars and giraffes. And this is incredible. It really is an exploration. Because pessimistic induction simply means, blimmin' heck, we thought it was true, now it is no longer. And that's always the case. That's why I say it's a bit like fashion. And it's a bit like this. I bet you everyone who sees this has looked at photographs of their parents. And they're going out to a party 10, 20 years ago. They thought, oh, Mum, Dad, why do you look so dreadful? Why were you wearing that shirt? Why were you wearing that? Your hair looks awful. But you never thought for a moment that you're standing exactly the same place that they were. So science is like fashion. Human learning is like fashion. It is never a settled case. We're always going to look dreadful, retrospectively. That's why, for example, if you're religious, and we have this dreadful things going on at the moment, things like intelligent design. Please ignore it. It's idiocy. So the point is, intelligent design is saying, here's a little bit of the world that science can't explain. Therefore, inference being, there's a designer. That's such bad science and such bad philosophy. And unbelievably bad theology. Because for theology, the whole thing is intelligible. Not a bit of it. Not a bit of it. We don't care if you can't explain or can't explain that. We actually want you to explain it. Because it should be that which invites you to understand it. Because for theologians, the whole of existence is an act of divine generosity. So you should be able to understand it. So we don't want to stall people, a god of the gaps, and so forth. So forget intelligent design. But the same stands for atheism. And we're going to see back to our pessimistic induction, back to Hempel's dilemma. It's as guilty as intelligent design. Not all atheists, by the way. Most of the best atheists in the world are humble enough in the true sense, are modest enough is a better word, to realize, flip, I can't extrapolate from this a theory about God or not. They're actually modest enough because they're actually doing the stuff in the lab. They're doing the stuff, you know, in the field. So they actually don't do this. But in the press, you get the new atheists. You get the Dawkins, the Dennett, and so forth. This is the point. They have to, because the atheism that marries the science today will also be a widow, just like the theology. And there's a cracking example of this. Dawkins says, Devil's Chaplain, page 81, left-hand side, middle of the page. Darwinism may have been triumphant at the end of the 20th century, but it may change beyond recognition, Hempel's dilemma. Pessimistic induction. Think about it. That's what we just heard. Beyond our recognition. Well, if that's the case, how has he used evolution, a subset of science, to be a platform for atheism? This is bad thinking, my precious. This is bad thinking. This is bad thinking all the way along. Bad philosophy, bad theology, bad science. Hempel's dilemma, pessimistic, or I'd say optimistic, induction. He says it. But surely, I heard since the 70s, he's doing evolution as a vehicle for atheism. But 5 years' time, it could be completely different.